Inertia. This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders. A waterside sign in Arabic says, no swimming. In an apartment.
I can't do this anymore. I can't. Because last night...
A woman confronts a naked man holding a boot.
It was the end.
Last night was not the end, Laura. Last night was a new beginning for us.
You
came over here, Laura. You know, you came here last night.
And I'm so sorry I did that to you. I'm sorry. I should have never... I mean, I thought that after a year, I thought... This was a mistake.
Listen, Laura. I love you. Okay, and last night was beautiful, but if you need to take a step back and take a little more time, you know, another 8 months, I mean, that's fine.
Joseph, give me my boot.
Hey, you know, I know what this is. Right? The, with your head, you think that it's best that we break up for reasons that are beyond me.
We're not going out anymore.
But with your heart, Laura, with your heart, you know this is forever. Come back to bed.
How many more times do you want to be hurt like this? Don't you think it's over?
it's not over, Laura. We're just having some difficulty.
What?
Some difficulty, that's all. Just some kinks that we're working through. You know, and I'll give you all the space that you need, okay? It's good. It's good that we're communicating about this, you know? I feel a lot better, but how about you?
He falls.
Are you okay?
He jumps up.
I'm fine.
He gently holds the scarf around her neck.
Oh, Joseph, all right.
She turns away from him.
I'm leaving.
Avoiding his gaze, she holds out her hand for the boot. Joseph gives it to her, and she hurries across the apartment.
Yeah, that's cool, actually, because I've got to get up for work in a while, and I'm just gonna.
Do you believe
inertia with narrative description by AudioVision?
Meaning, a soulmate. I do.
Jonas Chernick.
Are you the one for me? I'm 29, divorced, and I'm
Sarah Constable.
A guy who's considerate. A guy who doesn't leave a mess.
Gordon Tanner.
And goes out sneaking around. Well, hi there. I am Lucille.
Micheline Marcheldon.
32 years of age, 175, 639, 29.
Sound coordinator, Russ Dyke.
I have a sense of humor and love to have fun. I am
production designer, Kim Forrest.
Very casual at first and then...
Music by Richard Moody.
Hi, this is Joy. I like to
director of photography, Michael Marshall.
And I'm looking for a guy who will listen.
Produced by Brendan Sawatsky.
Raven. I'm white, blonde. I weigh 220, but I carry
directed,
very well.
Written, and edited by Sean Garrity.
I'm looking for sex. I'm young, I'm attractive.
In his apartment, Bruce, a handsome young man, listens to a phone sex line.
To skip to the next message, welcome to the message center. In order to access this feature, male members must subscribe to paid privileges. Paid privilege members have unrestricted access.
His wife, Yumi, looks in on him from a hallway.
Visa card holders, please press 1.
I got tired of working, so I was calling Joseph, but he's not home. I just have one thing to finish up here, and then I'll come.
She walks away. Later, Bruce meets Joseph.
Mexico is not that dangerous a place. I mean, I've been there 3 times. So I met this woman at the bar that night, and, you know, she wasn't that unusual for me, and we were both pretty loaded. We went back to my hotel and had a great time, and I vaguely remember sometime middle of the night she woke me up, and she was leaving, and she wanted me to pay her before she left because she was a prostitute. I hadn't realized that, and we had a kind of an argument about it, and she, you know, and I went back to sleep without really resolving it. And I woke up in the morning and she was gone, and my wallet was gone too. And on the table beside the bed, there was this big rusty knife. And when I went into the bathroom and looked in the mirror, on my throat, she'd drawn this red line from one side to the other.
In blood?
In lipstick, Joe. But I got the message, right? I mean, they could have...
It's Joseph. Yeah, you're lucky to be here. Don't understand what this has to do with your marriage.
Well, I should have died that night, right? So this is, it's like my second chance. So after my vacation, I went back to Japan and married Yumi, and I'm a different guy than the guy you knew in university. My desire no longer controls me. How about that? No more womanizing, no more drinking, no more drugs.
Cheers to that.
They drink a toast with their mugs.
You remember my girlfriend, Laura?
Yeah. The same Laura?
Yeah. She's thinking of doing some long-term traveling. Like Australia or something like that. I don't know. I was thinking maybe you might have some more of those scary travel stories. You might be able to tell her and make her think a little more carefully about it.
You mean like bad airplane food stories?
I was thinking more along the lines of finding a nest of tarantulas in your sleeping bag stories.
Oh, the tarantulas.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Well, who doesn't have one of those? Yeah. Wow, you two are still together, eh?
Joseph looks at him ambiguously. After class at a girls' school.
Worked up the courage to ask me yet?
Yeah. Angela said you could get us the pill.
No, I can't do that.
Two teenage girls whisper to each other as Laura closes the classroom door.
Don't your parents teach you this stuff?
No, see, our parents aren't as cool as you. My uncle says we should be learning it in school.
Well, your uncle's right, just not at this school.
The girls are taken aback.
I can teach you where to get contraception and how to use it. Okay.
Laura sits at her desk and rummages in a drawer.
Okay. Pills, condoms, foam. You guys should be writing this down.
The girls stare at the contraceptives. Soon after, they leave the classroom. A portly woman stops in the hall and stares at Laura through the doorway. Laura meets her hostile gaze. Later, deep in the bowels of a huge office building, in the IT center, a computer circuit board shorts out. Workers in the building gaze at their blank computer screens. As a bald man thumbs through a massive manual, a woman fights back her tears. A young man timidly presses a key on his keyboard. The bald man tosses the manual aside and presses a key, to no avail.
Why does this keep happening to me?
One by one, the users lose their cool. In the IT center, Bruce is on the phone.
Crash!
I can't tell you how long it's going to take before we get the knife.
Mainframe crashed again.
Dan, I'm reconnecting the original terminal. Don't answer that.
Taking main drives offline, not answering anything. Reroute
them. Rerouting the access protocol path to the original drive. Disable the
bit codes that we spent 3 fucking days synchronizing, not answering any of those.
Signing a new network master, not even dreaming of answering any phones, and...
Bruce types a command and watches his monitor expectantly.
It's back.
He turns to his co-worker, Borowski.
Fuck! 3 days' work. What's the point?
Well, there's no point. But tonight, I am going out with an angel.
All right, Mandy, the statuesque blonde with a PhD in Spanish studies.
Well, that was last night. Tonight, it's Tara. She's a waitress at Earl's.
Well, what happened with Mandy?
What do you mean what happened? Nothing, but tonight...
No. Yesterday you rhapsodized about this woman. So you got to tell me the Mandy story.
Well, we went out to eat some spicy Spanish food.
Spanish food? What, like, you mean like Mexican food?
Yeah, whatever. You know, I hate spicy food. I get hot gums, you know? Yeah, I hate that. Then we went dancing, had sex, that was that.
You had sex with her?
Yeah, but tonight I'm going out with Tara.
So that's it for Mandy, you're not gonna...
Hey. She's disgusting. I don't want to talk about her, okay? But Tara, she's something special.
Wow. You know, way back before I shackled myself into marriage, I used...
Somebody, I gotta get back to it, so I'll tell you all about it tomorrow.
Bruce watches Borowski leave the room. At the Greater Winnipeg Water Plant.
Bernie went out to Shoal Lake, and he found nothing.
So, the results from the source are negative, yet we still have a large number of complaints from the residents. Nothing at the intake, yet it's still coming through in people's water. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get the aqueduct checked, and we're going to double the number of samples being taken in general, okay? That's it.
Joseph's co-worker Douglas shows him a headline about a boil water order.
Check it out, ma'am. Front page.
Joseph ignores him.
Oh, no. Your date with Laura didn't go well?
Joseph walks away.
She had yet another date with you, just to tell you that it was over. Again.
Laura and I are just, we're on a break, okay?
Just the same break you've been on all year, new break.
We met to reaffirm our break.
Right.
You know
right.
What? She's under a lot of pressure at work right now.
The two walk through a laboratory toward Joseph's desk.
Running off to Australia or something.
Yeah.
She just needs a little space, that's all, just some time. Now, I want you to take me to the aqueduct.
Want to supervise?
Nope. I want to test this out. This is, it's actually a sampler, and supposedly it takes a sample and analyzes it right there on the spot.
Douglas studies the small instrument as Joseph grabs his phone.
Yes, Andy. Thanks. Hello. Yeah, it went very well. We got the search all organized and everything. Whatever it is, we'll find it. It's got to be coming from somewhere.
Later, a teenage girl peers out a doorway and steps outside. She hurries across the street, carrying bags and a knapsack. The girl sits on the sidewalk at the corner of a building. Using a pocket mirror to peek around the corner, she sees Joseph coming and hurriedly puts it away. Joseph rounds the corner.
Joseph!
When he stops and looks back at her, she smiles.
Alex! Oh my God, what are you doing here?
Well, what does it look like? I'm moving to Winnipeg.
You look like a runaway. Does your dad know you're here?
Yeah, everything's cool with my dad. He lets me do whatever I want. You know him.
Yeah, yes, I do. You in some kind of trouble?
No, Joseph, I'm fine. Why don't you have a seat?
He puts down his briefcase and sits next to her.
It's good to see you. You look different. You look older.
Yeah, well, I am.
How old are you now? You're what?
19.
19. You look good. I lie. I am lying to you. You look terrible. You're out here on the street. You should be in university. Where are you staying?
I'm staying with this guy, Jack.
This guy? What is he, your boyfriend?
He's just a friend. He's a DJ.
Is he, are you eloping with him? Are you pregnant with his love child? How old is this guy?
Would you just relax? He's 27.
He's 27? Oh, he's... 27. You should call family when you come to the city, you know? You should call me. I am not comfortable with this. You're out in the cold here in the street, and you could freeze to death, and you could be raped or killed, and you're moving in with a 27-year-old pedophile named Jack. So I'm not going to sit here. You know, you're going to come, stay with me. That's all there is to it.
He stands up and extends his mittened hand to her. Later, at Joseph's immaculate apartment, Alex gazes at her orderly surroundings, drops her things on the floor, and steps toward a fish tank. Joseph peeks in, holding a phone.
Oh, hey, Alex, those are my fish, Larry and Jerry. And I feed the fish, okay? Because, you know, if you feed them, then, they, you know, it'll be too much food and, you know, they'll get confused and they'll die. So they'll try to persuade you, too. They'll give you the eye, so the fish eye. Hello.
Hi, Laura.
Yeah, look, I know I'm not supposed to call or anything, but
do you remember Bruce McAllister from university? Kind of the crazy drinker guy, ladies' man type guy?
Alex eavesdrops as she looks at a picture of Laura.
Okay, well, I was out for coffee with him, and he's done a lot of traveling, and, you know, I thought it would be a good idea for the three of us maybe to, you know, get together for dinner and to talk about, because, you know, for you, with your traveling and everything.
Well, with her hair very close cropped and a striped scarf around her neck, you know, Alex wanders around the living room.
A lot of places. He's traveled a lot, and I just thought, you know, that it would be good. He could help you specify where you wanted to go.
Alex casually drops her scarf on the floor as she picks up a magazine called Pipes Today.
I have to be honest with you here. I'm a little insulted by what you're suggesting because, you know, I'm trying to do something nice for you, something, you know, unselfish. Quite frankly, at a time where I think, you know, I'm a little bit hurt by you. I think you're being really mean.
As Joseph drops the phone, Alex enters the kitchen.
No, it's not what you're suggesting.
I wasn't suggesting...
Well, good, because that's not what happened.
Alex looks in the fridge.
He asked about you, actually. He inquired about you, and instead of me saying, oh, no, you know, we're not talking right now, we're not getting along very well, I said, sure, you know, let me set it up. And,
Alex keeps wandering around the living room.
So, come
on, Laura. All right, I'm sorry,
It's okay. It's all right. It's, you know, no, apology accepted. And we'll set it up for Saturday night. I'll make a reservation. Okay?
Okay.
Great.
Joseph hangs up and catches Alex eavesdropping. As she steps away from him, he watches curiously. Winter clouds scud over Winnipeg's cityscape. On Saturday night, Joseph, Laura, and Alex meet Bruce in a restaurant.
This is my cousin, Alex.
Hi.
Second cousin, twice removed.
She's staying with me, and she has a cold, so steer clear. She's actually, she's starting school on Monday, biology at the Collège Saint-Boniface.
Oh, you're French.
No, I'm Canadian. Joseph convinced me, actually.
There's a surprise.
Got me in late enrollment by talking to someone.
Have you guys ordered yet?
No, let's get some drinks to stir.
Oh, actually, I don't drink anymore.
Oh, Mexico. This is a great story.
Surely you drink water still?
Only the instant stuff.
Have you heard about the water from the tap? Like, I'm so sure that's where I got my cold.
No, I wouldn't believe everything your friends tell you at the bar, Alex. You got that cold from staying out late. No, the water only affects people with a weakened immune system.
So what do you do now?
I rewrite software. All right, I try.
Never mind.
No, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, I'm thinking of doing some traveling, maybe. I've always wanted to see the ocean.
You've never been to the ocean?
No, I'm a prairie girl.
Oceans of wheat!
So where are you planning on going, the Caribbean, or...?
Well, I'm thinking Australia, maybe, or maybe Thailand. I guess everybody goes to Asia.
Everybody used to go to Europe.
Right in the 80s, right?
I've got some books on living in Japan at home. If you'd like to borrow them,
yeah?
Just let me know.
Great, yeah.
Japan, right. You were going to tell me a story, a really awful story about Japan.
Bruce looks at him blankly.
Nile.
Egypt.
Right, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. There was this time we were traveling down the Nile in this little tiny cargo boat, and it was blistering hot, and we wanted to go in for a swim. But the Egyptians kept telling us not to. But their English wasn't good enough to really explain why. They just kept pointing at their arms and saying no. And so we'd stopped in some little port town to, to unload cotton or something. And this Australian woman who was traveling with us, she'd finally had enough. So she went swimming. And she came back out and said that it was great. She was thoroughly refreshed. But within a couple hours, she developed this rash,
and the rash turned into these blisters. And each of the blisters turned into a boil. And inside each one of the boils, there was a little worm.
Oh, that is so horrible.
You should have listened to those guys.
Yeah, they were just trying to be helpful, you know, which is what I really found with people in Egypt. Well, people everywhere I've been, you know, they've... kind, generous. It does a lot to restore your faith in humanity.
Joseph stares sullenly at Bruce.
But there are terrible people, too. There are thieves. Thieves everywhere.
Yeah, now, did you not have some trouble with your work visa?
Did you ever see, like, exotic animals and stuff?
Yes, and yes. Actually, I remember this time in Manaus, which is the biggest city in the Amazon. And we'd rented this boat, and it was sunrise. And we'd taken the boat out on the river, right where this
Laura gazes at Bruce,
down,
fascinated.
Because our guide wanted to show us dolphins.
Cool.
But they weren't just dolphins. They were pink dolphins.
Shut up. Pink dolphins.
Yeah. It's because the river is so muddy there, the sunlight can't penetrate.
Joseph signals a waiter.
So it can't affect their pigmentation. So they keep their color because they spend their whole lives down in this gray muck.
Later, Bruce leaves the men's room to find Laura waiting for him in the hall outside, smiling.
Hey, I was wondering if maybe we'd have the chance to talk sometime, just the two of us.
About what? What are you planning on, blackmailing me?
No, no.
Look, Laura, that was a long time ago. Does Joseph know?
Does he?
Well, did you tell him?
Laura turns and walks away. Later, back at the table.
Marriage?
Well,
then at least you're getting some all the time.
Obviously, you're not seeing anyone, Alex.
Actually, I believe she has the hots for her DJ friend.
Oh, whatever.
The hots?
Yes, for DJ Jack.
We used to go out, but now we're just really good friends.
Is that possible?
Well, I suppose that depends on whether you were truly in love with the person in the first place, doesn't it? Oh, which reminds me, we have not yet had a toast to, I'm sorry, I forgot her name.
Laura?
Bruce's wife.
Oh, Yumi.
Yes, a toast.
A toast?
To marriage.
To marriage.
Laura looks at Bruce.
Ever screwed around?
On my wife?
Or with somebody else?
No. The old Bruce might have been that kind of guy, but the new and improved Bruce met his soulmate and married her.
Laura's skeptical.
What, you don't believe that there's one person for everyone, and that once you find that person...
No.
Joseph.
Really?
I actually have to side with Laura on this one. I mean, I think there's a certain spectrum of people you can accommodate yourself to for a time, but in the long run...
In fact, most species are polygamous, aren't they? Marriage traditionally was a way of making women into property, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, we can explore other people.
Eventually,
you're always going to go back to that one person. I mean, to be truly happy.
Why can't we be happy just having sex with whoever we want, whenever we want?
Well, yes, that is a choice, Alex. And there are people that move from partner to partner forever. But those people live lives with no one else. And as far as I'm concerned, real happiness only comes when you find that person and you commit to them and you marry them. And perfect example, Bruce. Now, you spent all those years going from woman to woman. When did you find true happiness?
Bruce stares at him. A cold winter's night settles on the city. As the night wears on, a large poster of ocean waves hangs on an apartment wall. Laura sits on the floor beside her bed, staring at the poster. When she ignores the phone, a young man awakens in her bed. He looks at her. Then at her call display.
Joseph Schreiber is calling.
He's my boyfriend.
You don't want to talk to him?
Laura shakes her head slowly.
Well, I must have fallen asleep. Maybe I should go.
Yeah.
Can I leave you my number? Maybe we can get together again sometime.
No, that's okay.
The young man mulls over her response. He gets out of bed, but Laura keeps staring at the poster. Meanwhile, at home, Bruce surfs through internet porn sites. Hearing Yumi nearby, he grows nervous.
I've been on the internet.
He frantically tries to get off the porn site and succeeds just as Yumi enters. Bruce checks the computer.
Oh, cloudy again. Minus 23.
Lights illuminate downtown office towers, and computer circuits work away. In the morning, Laura and the stout woman meet with the principal.
I'd do it again in a second.
The principal is taken aback.
You have no respect for the rules.
She glares at the principal.
And I don't have to remind you that this isn't the first time we've seen it. And that's not all.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. Listen, Laura. Have you gotten to the God's family lesson in your ethics class yet?
I am not doing an anti-abortion class unless it comes together with a class on contraception. I think I've made that very clear.
Just who do you think you are? This is a Catholic school, and you will teach what you were told. You cannot teach contraception here.
What century are you from? Teaching kids that they're going to go to hell if they have an abortion, but not teaching them how to avoid pregnancy? It's nonsensical. It's irresponsible.
Hey, that's cool, man. I'm okay, you're okay, right? But we are a Catholic school, you know, so when the man says teach, we say how high, right?
Right. These kids need an education that's going to help them deal with the world, not some rule book from the Dark Ages.
Why do 14-year-olds need to know about contraception anyway?
The principal winces. Meanwhile, a film shows pulsating organisms on a screen. Alex attends her first biology lecture with dozens of other students. L'expression génétique se manifeste dans des domaines. Bored with the film, Alex looks around the lecture hall. When a woman meets her gaze, Alex looks away. A young man looks at her and leers. Alex turns back to the film.
Une région organisatrice spéciale se développera plus tard dans le notre champ. Une tige raide provisoire.
When the film ends, the leering young man follows Alex.
Hey.
He says, my name's Guy. I'm Alex. Isn't that a guy's name?
No, excuse.
Hey, sorry, I was just joking. What do you like doing? Dancing, getting high. Me too. We have a lot in common. We should go out sometime. Sorry, I go for older guys. But maybe I'll see you around. Meanwhile, Joseph and Douglas take water samples.
This other time, she went on this trip by herself for about a week or so, a couple years ago. Nah, she never told me where she was going. It was like this big mystery. She didn't go very far, I think, maybe Ontario or something. But, ever since then, it's just been different. It's like she...
When Joseph's new instrument beeps, he looks through an eyepiece and checks a booklet. He squints through the eyepiece again.
Cryptos Viridia?
Nope. I'm not sure it's crypto we're looking for, though. I mean, I know they found some in that one sample from River Heights, but it wasn't enough to make anybody sick. And cold symptoms is something we've never seen from crypto before.
Oh, you find something?
Nope, there's nothing. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if it is crypto, I don't know where it's coming from.
Later, at home, Joseph dials a phone. Joseph hangs up. Outside, a utility pole holds wires against a dark sky, and water pipes snake underground through the city core. Traffic courses through downtown Winnipeg. After work, people hurry out of buildings and onto buses. Night falls quickly. Laura steps cautiously to her closed front door. Joseph is outside in the hall.
Laura?
Joseph.
Hey, Laura. What are you... Did you just lock the door?
Joseph, I thought we agreed that we
were
going
to... Yeah, listen, I know. I'm not supposed to call or come over, blah, blah, blah. I was at this antique store this morning, and I found this beautiful... Really, it's so beautiful, I had to buy it for you, and really, I just thought I'd drop it off, really.
It's really sweet of you, Joseph.
You've got to see this item. It's pretty incredible. It's an antique boomerang, so I'm thinking, I just wanted to bring it by. So can I come in?
No. I don't think that would be a good idea.
It's going to be a minute, Laura. Actually, because I've got somewhere. I've got to run. Come on, Laura. I'm standing in a hallway right now, Laura. Come on.
You know, I really don't think we're giving this thing a chance. I mean, a breakup doesn't just happen, you know? We have to try and make it work, right?
Laura. I miss you, Laura. And I know that you miss me, too.
I can't talk about this right now, okay? I can't talk about this right now, so I'll talk to you later and...
Is somebody there?
No, but listen, thank you for the gift. That's very sweet, and, can you just leave it in front of the door?
What? Laura, we made love a week ago.
A woman passes in the hallway.
I miss you, Laura, so much. It's been so hard for me not to call or come by, and I pick up the phone, I dial half. Can I just see you just for a minute, please?
Joseph, please go.
Do you love me, Laura?
What?
Do you love me?
I'm in love with somebody else.
Joseph takes this in as the apartment door separates the two.
Who?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Wow. The design on this thing's really... You must be really confused, Laura.
I still care for you, Joseph. I mean... How can I not? You're Joseph.
It's not true, is it? You don't love somebody else.
Joseph, please go.
Unclearly reflected in a mirror, a young man steps out of her bathroom and towels himself off.
Betty never got you an antique boomerang.
I don't want to talk about this right now, okay? I don't want to talk
about
it.
Well, then when, Laura? When?
His reflection still indistinct. The young man approaches, but Laura signals him to stay away. He stands nearby, listening to their conversation.
Neither one of us ever really understanding. after everything we've been... Dinner. Okay? Let's go for dinner on Sunday night, just to talk. Okay, Laura? Like we used to. Please, just say yes, Laura. Just say yes and I'll go right now.
Okay? Don't let it end here. Laura? Please.
Okay.
Joseph leaves the boomerang by the door and walks off down the hallway. Later at the IT center, Borowski stares at Laura as Bruce works.
Is the cafeteria far?
Yeah, they've hidden it deep in the core of the building for fear that we'll eat too much and then grow strong and overthrow them. Are you sick?
Oh, yeah, no, they're just saying that there's something in the water.
They walk to the cafeteria.
This hallway was designed by Escher in his dismal pathos period.
Yeah, this is really... Should we be leaving a thread or something?
So he shows up at your house, and you tell him that you're thinking about leaving the country, and if he doesn't go home immediately, you're going to call the police.
No, I agreed to go out to dinner with him on Sunday.
They pass through a busy office.
Novel approach. What is that, reverse psychology?
I know.
You have to let me know how that goes.
Terrible. I'm making a mess of it. What am I supposed to do?
You just say no. Don't you read ads on buses?
Would you come?
Sounds like he has a romantic dinner in mind. I don't know if that'd be a good idea.
Dinner in mind. I mean, so that it's just a dinner, you know? It's not Joseph getting all mushy on me. If we're alone, you know that face he makes.
I don't know. Joseph's a friend of mine.
I never told him about us, you know?
They enter a deserted hallway.
Laura,
come on, you can bring your wife if you like.
My wife? I don't think she'd be interested. When did you say it was?
In the cafeteria, Bruce gives Laura some maps.
And this is a guide to hot springs in Kyushu. So you can take that and all this, and if you have any questions, just... when were you thinking of going?
God, is there any place you haven't been?
Saskatchewan.
Oh.
I've never been to the Queen City.
No, I mean that you've already done everything that I've wanted. Oh, I brought you something.
She hands him the antique boomerang.
That's great. Where'd you get this?
Oh, someone gave it to me. I think it's a... Do you recognize it? Yeah, okay, of course you recognize.
It's a boomerang.
Yeah.
But it's an Aborigine boomerang. It's great. That's a real treasure.
No, it's for you.
Oh, no, Laura,
really?
I couldn't.
No,
it's really...
It's for
it's,
you.
Oh, fuck. I gotta...
Bruce checks his pager. Yeah,
I gotta go. Sorry.
Just take it.
Yeah. Thanks.
He rushes off with it.
See you Sunday.
Next morning at Joseph's apartment.
No, don't do that. Now, you and Yumi getting married is not a mistake. It's a step in the right direction.
Well, I feel crowded. You know, like today, I just wanted to get up, have a cup of coffee, read the paper by myself, and, Jesus!
Oh, yes, good morning, Alex. You know, Bruce, my place is yours. You still have that key I gave you, right? Boker Tov?
Yeah.
That's Hebrew for good morning. I made you some oatmeal.
Thanks.
Joseph watches Alex enter the bathroom and hurry back to her bedroom, brushing her teeth.
Bruce? What? Oh, the key.
Oh, yeah.
Alex returns.
Would you please eat some of this oatmeal? It'll give you energy.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? You hold on to it. Yeah, it's, you keep it. You know, you're just maybe accommodating yourself right now, and, you know, you just need to find a space where you can breathe, you know? I mean, if you ever need a space, you need to just chill. Hey, mikasa sukasa. Wait. The coffee.
Joseph hands Alex a mug as she passes. Later, in the lecture hall, Alex watches a film about body fluids.
Ou une activité intense. Les os produisent en permanence de nouvelles cellules sanguines pour en approvisionner le corps. Cependant, le sang lui-même circule sans cesse dans le corps, mais il ne se reconstitue pas continuellement.
Bored, she picks up her things and leaves.
Les molécules d'oxygène s'accolent à l'hémoglobine. Dans le sang.
Later, at Joseph's apartment, Alex's things are strewn everywhere.
Hello?
Bruce enters.
Joe?
Alex?
He surveys the mess.
Wow.
Bruce taps the fishbowl.
How are ya?
He feeds the fish. Then wanders into Alex's bedroom. Touching her clothes, he fantasizes about dancing with her. He examines her dresser and opens a drawer. He closes the drawer when someone enters the apartment.
Joseph?
Later, Bruce and Alex sit in awkward silence in the living room.
So how's university?
It's, like, so stupid. I'm supposed to be studying animals, right? And it's all just, like, boring cells and stupid documentaries about bugs and shit.
Alex steps to a shelving unit.
You know, Joseph has so many family pictures.
She turns one face down.
It's like all these scary old ants and shit. And what is up with Laura? Did you see the way she was looking at me at dinner the other night? It's like, I'm his cousin. Relax.
I think she gets nervous around Joe.
What's it gonna take for him to get over her?
2 or 3 years?
Shut up.
It's the beauty of relationships. How about you? Are you, seeing anyone? a DJ friend of yours?
Jack? Yeah, he totally rocks. There's a book here I wasn't supposed to read.
I bet he's never been to Thailand.
No, but you have, right?
Yeah.
Alex feeds the fish.
Actually, there's this great little Thai restaurant in the village that maybe...
She stares at him.
When you're traveling, you must have to eat all sorts of weird shit. Like, what's the freakiest thing you've ever eaten?
Probably, dog in Korea.
You ate a puppy?
No.
Oh, my God. Animal rights are just, like, fucked up all over the world, man.
She steps toward the door.
Is this your bag?
Yeah.
You're right.
No, really.
She rummages through the bag and pulls out the boomerang.
Cool. Do you think this thing works?
You, like it?
She looks at him sharply. Sperm swim on a lecture hall screen. People dance in a club. And letters flash on a computer screen. Another day passes. At work, Bruce reaches behind racks of computer equipment. He turns to Borowski.
Cherry, she works in a gas station.
What happened to Sarah?
Tara.
Yeah, the waitress, whatever. What happened there?
She's disgusting.
You slept with her.
Yeah, but that's history. I'm driving my car, okay? And I'm out of gas. So I go up to this gas station, roll down the window, and whoa, there is an angel, and she pumps gas.
Bruce types as he listens.
She pumped my gas. So she says to me, check this out. She leans over and says to me, can I fill you up? Hey? Can I fill you up? Well, that's what she said. And she starts with the gas, you know. She's getting into it, right? Eh? She's pumping my gas, and it was so friggin' awesome. So we're going out for dinner Sunday night.
How old is she?
18.
Maybe the two of you should come out for dinner with us.
You and your wife?
No, me and this 19-year-old. Well, we're going out on Sunday with her cousin Joe and his non-girlfriend Laura and...
Me and Cherry.
Yeah, your friend Cherry's 18, Alex is 19. They could hang out together.
Yeah, they could go to the girls' washroom together and stuff.
Yeah, man, I gotta tell you about her. She's like something, the thrill of the chase, you know? It's like, it's been a while, but I go over to her place, right?
Yeah, great, we'll work it out later.
Borowski leaves. On Sunday at dinner.
Nest of tarantulas.
Oh my God.
A nest of tarantulas?
Yeah, right in my sleeping bag. Joe's seen the picture.
It's Joseph.
When Cherry strokes Borowski's shoulder, he glares at her.
All the
what
time.
Did we talk about, eh?
As everyone stares at him, Cherry quickly withdraws her hand.
Yeah, tarantulas. That's a good one.
So what do you do?
Terry.
Cherry. It's Cherry.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Cherry here works at a gas station.
Oh, well, really? Wait, well, which gas station?
I work at the Petrochem in Burroughs.
Oh, that's a great gas station.
Do you go to school?
I'll be studying biology in the winter.
Hey, I'm studying biology.
Do you go to the UW?
No, I'm studying at the college, actually.
Oh, I have a friend at the college.
No, you talk too much.
I thought you wanted me to meet.
No, don't.
Is everything all right? Are you still feeling sick?
Oh, that's enough, Cherry.
Borowski notices the other staring.
Hey, yeah, she talks too much. You know, there's like a time to talk, a time to shut up, you know.
Don't!
Touch me.
You did not have a problem touching me earlier tonight.
Well, that was different now, wasn't it?
Why
don't you shut up?
It's nice you invite me
okay,
out.
Okay,
and...
stop. You disgust me, okay?
Oh,
so why don't
no,
you take
you know what?
Your disgusting hair
no.
and your disgusting eyes and your
don't
disgusting ass
anymore.
Out of here!
Cherry storms off. Joseph looks away. But the others stare at Borowski in astonishment.
Well, guess I'd better go.
No,
don't do that. The food hasn't eaten.
Yeah, but I'm not really yet. I'll see you tomorrow.
Borowski leaves.
What?
Charming.
Oh, that was harrowingly disturbing.
I apologize.
Actually, just
a waiter serves their food.
The crazy thing is, he's a real ladies'
no
man.
Way.
He is. He goes out with a different woman every night.
Oh, well, I guess God. Everybody has something about them that's attractive.
Yeah, and in the case of Borowski, it's some mysterious element that's invisible to the naked eye.
And the third couple?
After dinner, they sit around the table.
No, exotic. Bruce goes for Japanese and exotic looking
women. Is it all still looks? I mean, are we all a bunch of Neanderthals?
Well, a good number of us are.
No, it's a type thing. You know, you have your type. Everyone has their type.
So we're doomed to fall in love with the same person again and again.
Until you find that one person.
Don't opposites attract. I mean, isn't that what it is?
Okay, Laura. Who are you in love with? I mean, really.
Laura stares at him.
Well, we know who it's not.
Joseph looks at Alex coldly. She flounders for something to say.
Joseph, I got you something.
Alex rummages through her bag and pulls out the boomerang. As Joseph stares at it, Bruce looks at Alex resentfully.
Well, you know, it's like a...
Yeah, thanks. Where did you get this?
It's something I just kind of had.
Oh, you just had this?
With Australians? Like, on Sundays, they go out to the park and...
No, this is an antique. This is an antique boomerang.
Yeah, how did you know that?
Because this happens to be the exact
or very,
same...
Or very similar.
No, this is the
no,
same
what?
One.
It can't be the same because mine didn't have this on it.
This is the exact same one. Where did you get this?
I don't know. What does it matter?
It matters.
Fuck, it's going out dancing.
Wait, not by yourself.
As Bruce and Alex pull on their coats, Laura leaves the table. Later, they all enter a club. Alex waves to a friend and hurries off. The smoky club is packed with dancers. Bruce dances in the middle of the crowd. He spills his drink. He looks at his empty glass. Bruce lurches toward the bar. Laura sees him coming and smiles. But he talks to Joseph. As Bruce signals for two drinks, Joseph angrily tells him to stop drinking, but Bruce insists on having another. Bruce endures Joseph's scolding until his drink arrives, toasts Joseph mockingly, and flees back into the crowd. Joseph yells at Laura about Bruce, but she can't hear him over the music. Bruce carries his drink through the press of gyrating bodies on the dance floor. Alex approaches Joseph at the bar. But he turns away from her. When she persists, they get into an argument. And Alex walks off down the bar. She grabs a guy from the bar and pulls him toward the dance floor. Joseph tries to get Laura's attention, but she averts her gaze. Irritated, he shouts at her, and she looks at him. When he speaks, she indicates that she can't hear him. Joseph keeps talking until she angrily turns away. On the dance floor, Bruce dances with Alex. As he grabs her around the waist and kisses her neck, she tries to get away. DJ Jack arrives and confronts Bruce, then knocks him down as Laura looks on. Alex thanks DJ Jack, looks down at Bruce sprawled drunkenly on the floor, and resumes dancing. Bruce slowly picks himself off the floor as people dance around him. Bruce looks around, dazed. He wanders off across the dance floor. Laura watches as he walks away. Bruce heads to a doorway. Laura notices that Joseph has his back turned and hurries after Bruce. When Joseph turns around, he spots her disappearing through the door. In the dark hallway, Laura finds a door closing at the end of the hall. She walks past a necking couple. In a boiler room, Bruce urinates into a jar. Laura enters and watches. Bruce looks up in alarm and sets the jar aside. Laura steps toward him. She takes him in her arms and kisses him.
Oh, Laura. Laura.
Meanwhile, Joseph checks a door in the dark hallway. In the room, Laura tries to neck with the drunken Bruce.
I've been thinking about you a lot, you know, ever since...
Hey! 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 Get the fuck off!
Joseph rushes in and knocks Bruce down.
So this is what happens to you when you're drunk. You turn into an animal?
Joseph,
Jesus Christ!
Hello, do you need glasses?
It's okay. It's all right. Are you okay?
Of course I'm okay.
Yeah, I know, but you... You're supposed to be my friend. Now you're trying to rape my girlfriend in a boiler room? That is disgusting.
Joseph, we have broken up so I can fuck whoever I want, all right?
You are very confused right now.
Joseph, wake up. I'm trying to have sex with a friend of yours in a boiler room. Does that not maybe make you wonder?
Yeah, it makes me wonder why you're trying to cover up for this...
Listen to me, Joseph. Bruce and I have already...
She looks at Bruce lolling against a wall, semi-conscious.
Made love.
Joseph stares at her.
I don't believe you. You're lying. Why would you... You are so confused right now, Laura.
I am, but it's true.
No, it's not.
Bruce was the first. There's been 20, 30 maybe since then.
That's not true. That is not true. You're a teacher, Laura. You're a role model, and those girls, they look up to you, and that is not... You are not...
I'm human, Joseph.
You slept with 30. And him? You slept with him? When?
Couple months after we started going
out. That's a lie!
No, listen...
That is not... Is that true?
Look, Joe...
My name is Joseph! You got it? Joseph, not...
He kicks junk around the room.
I keep telling you, Joseph, and you keep saying Joseph!
Joseph!
It's like you can't...
Get angry at me!
J-E-O-S-E-P-H!
Joseph, get angry at me! Get angry at me! I deserve it!
Let's go.
I can take care of myself. Just fucking bring your friend home.
She stalks off. Joseph watches her go.
Joe.
Later, as Yumi sits up watching TV, Bruce arrives home, drunk. When he stumbles in, she looks at him, unsmiling. Joseph sits in his bedroom, gazing at a picture of him kissing Laura. He snatches it off his bedside table, looks at it, and dumps it in a drawer. Stepping to a dresser, he gathers up an armload of pictures and drops them into the drawer. Joseph sits on his bed, arms crossed. He opens the drawer, takes one of the pictures out, and carefully places it on the bedside table. He gently closes the drawer and gazes at the picture. He weeps. He slumps to the floor. Later, he dials Laura's number.
Hi, this is Laura. I'm not...
He hangs up. Joseph writes "don't" on a post-it note and sticks it on the phone. Later, at the club, Alex heads toward the exit. A young man notices her leaving and follows. Alex steps outside onto the street. The man follows and sees Alex enter a tunnel. As Alex arrives at the end of the tunnel, the man enters it. He hurries after her. As Alex walks through a dark alley, the man follows, but much closer. Aware that he's behind her, she picks up her pace and crosses a street, with the man now only a few steps behind. Alex darts into another alleyway and runs. The man races after her. Alex runs fast, but the man quickly gains on her. As he falls into a snowbank, Alex enters Joseph's building. She looks behind her.
Fuck!
She sprints up a staircase. Partway up, she looks at the stairwell below, but the man isn't there. As she walks away, relieved, the man appears at the bottom of the stairs. Arriving at Joseph's floor, Alex walks along the hall toward his apartment. She unlocks the door. The man gets off the elevator. Alex rushes inside and tries to close the door, but the man grabs her.
Get out! Get out! Hey!
Joseph arrives, shoves the man out, and slams the door.
I'll call the cops on you!
Alex sobs on the sofa.
All right, there you go. All right, he's gone. Now what the hell was that?
I don't know, he just followed me home.
Oh, he followed you home, eh? Well, who was he?
He was just some guy from the bar.
Some guy from the bar? Well, did you invite him here?
No,
Okay, calm down, okay? I'm sure that was very scary for you.
He sits beside her.
Tell me what happened.
I was walking home and I heard footsteps behind me, and so I turned around and it was him, and he had this weird stone look on his face, and I was just really freaked out, and I didn't want to run because they said if you run, then they chase after you. But I was scared. So I ran.
Okay, it's okay. Did you talk to him at the bar? I mean, were you sending him signals? And what happened?
I was just kissing with him for a while.
Oh, my God! You were kissing him at the bar?
Everybody does that!
Oh, come on, Alex. You know this stuff. You gotta be more careful. Jesus.
Oh, fuck you! Yeah, like, it's always the woman's fault, right? He was just a freak. I didn't know. Thought it was nice.
Sorry, right? I'm really sorry. It's just been a really bad. That was scary for me too. You know, that was very scary. I was in my room and the noise, and I came to the door, and the guy, the psycho, like rage in his eyes. You know, he was like a psychotic. You know, and
she leans on his shoulder.
I looked at him. He looked like this. Animal, you know, like an animal. Luckily, I marked my territory, so. Why didn't you come home with me when I asked you to, huh?
Why didn't you stay?
You didn't see Bruce.
That was so embarrassing.
Joseph strokes her hair.
I'm so glad you were here.
I'm glad I was here, too. Worry about you. You okay?
Alex snuggles up to Joseph. She kisses him on the mouth. When he doesn't respond, she sits up.
Right.
She hurries off to her room. Later, in his room, Joseph agonizes over the day's events, sitting on his bed, lying on the floor, perching on a windowsill, sitting on the edge of the bed. As morning dawns, a plow scrapes a fresh layer of snow off the city streets. Rush hour traffic clogs the downtown core. Joseph makes coffee in the kitchen.
Water last week suggested that cryptosporidia might be the cause. Cryptosporidia is a waterborne virus, sort of a bacteria, that caused a number of people to be hospitalized recently in North Battleford, Saskatchewan. However, a researcher at the University of Manitoba points out that the symptoms...
Joseph crosses the kitchen to Alex's bedroom door. Which usually manifests he listens.
Through nausea and fever.
And knocks.
Alex?
Alex is asleep. Joseph opens the door and looks in.
Alex.
Qualifies the infection as an epidemic as of today. The Ministry of Health announced this morning that we have an epidemic on our hands.
Alex opens her eyes. Later at Joseph's office.
All right, I'm going to go to the pumping station. I want you to go to the reservoir and just for safe measure, take another sample, okay?
You going to be right in that pumping station? It's confusing as hell, man.
I got my cell phone.
It's not going to work down there.
Well, if I get lost, I'll just cry out for help, okay?
Soon after, at the pumping station, Joseph walks past huge water tanks. He descends stairs to the bottom of a cavernous stairwell. Turning on a flashlight, Joseph goes down metal stairs into darkness. Later, he analyzes water samples with his new portable equipment. Afterward, Joseph retraces his steps through pipes and catwalks. Suddenly, he stops and peers around. Joseph stares at the dark maze of pipes that surrounds him. Alex's biology class. A film demonstrates the dissection of a testicle. Alex watches attentively, but some of the other students are squeamish. Bruce and Borowski work in the IT center.
We fix it, it fucks up. We try and fix it again, it fucks up again. What's the point?
We get paid. That's the point.
No, I mean the point of what we're doing.
Of course, that's what I mean, man. The software will never do what we're trying to get it to do.
What?
Come on, Brucey, where'd you get your degree? You can't rewrite software. Well, not to the extent they want us to do this, anyway.
Bruce stares at him.
I've accepted it. The software was designed to do one thing and one thing only. That'll never change. It moves by, like, the force of its own movement. Well, for what these guys want, eventually they're just going to have to buy new software.
You're unbelievable.
I'm just doing my job.
No, no. I mean, ever since I came in this morning, I've been waiting for you to come and apologize about last night, and you're not even...
Apologize?
Yes. Yes, like, I'm sorry, Bruce. I'm sorry for being such an asshole in front of your friends last night kind of apology.
Was I an asshole last night?
Perhaps you prefer the word lecherous, scoundrel, callous, dickhead?
You're in a bad mood today.
I have a vicious hangover. But you, it's always that way for you, isn't it? All these women you come in here bragging about, you're that cruel to all of them, aren't you?
You have a hangover?
Yes. I got drunk. I danced. The ancient ritual. To impress Alex, I made a complete idiot out of myself. You might be familiar with that.
You fell off the wagon for that little girl.
Bruce throws aside some wires.
Fuck you. The girl you savaged last night was 18. I love Alex.
Love? You know what the best medicine for that is? Have sex with somebody else. See what that does to your love. Doesn't matter if you're married. Doesn't matter if you think it's gonna last forever.
As Borowski looks away, Bruce studies his face.
You were married.
Your divorces are fucking expensive, too. You'll see. My marriage didn't even go a year. That's when I discovered that... You don't understand shit. But tonight, I gotta tell you about Angela, man.
Get out.
Meanwhile, Joseph returns to the office with his face smudged.
What happened to you?
What did you find?
I found a trace of crypto in the reservoir, but nothing serious. There's a memo waiting for you on the...
Hey, I need you to verify what I found.
Later at home.
And the dishes have been dirty for 3 days!
You always do the dishes!
That is my point!
Well, maybe I'm just gonna move in with Jack then.
Oh, what is it supposed to be, some kind of threat? And where did you get that boomerang from?
Shut up about the fucking boomerang!
Just tell me where you got it!
The apartment is a mess.
Okay, you know what, Alex? I'm just about at the end of my rope with this whole thing.
What whole thing?
What? With this mess and the music and the craziest trying to break in at 3 a.m. And you do not kiss your cousin.
Oh, my God. You're not all weirded out over that little kiss, are you?
Yes, I am. And I'll tell you why.
Whatever. It was like... It's not like I'm in love with you. I came home and I was all freaked out.
But you crossed a line, okay? There is a structure to the way that people interrelate. We are family. You are my cousin. You do not kiss me. That's how it works. God, it's not like I don't have enough to worry about.
Ah! There it is. Laura, she's not the one stressing you out. You're the one stressing yourself out because you can't even face the fact that she doesn't even care for you.
You don't understand. She does care for me, all right? She's just going through a difficult time right now. And so are you. And so is Bruce. And I just want to help everybody sort out their problems, all right? I just...
Alex rushes around, cleaning up her room.
Last night,
Last night was like inbreeding, okay? It was incestuous, okay? It was wrong. Look at me! We are family. You don't kiss your cousin.
Joseph, I'm not... I'm adopted.
Alex, you are not adopted.
Yes, I am, and I'm not your cousin, and... Stop yelling at me!
Joseph reflects on her words.
I'm sorry.
He steps toward her.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I didn't know.
He hugs her.
I had no idea. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. You're in love with me, aren't you?
They kiss, tentatively at first. Then with growing passion. He hungrily kisses her neck. Alex gently pushes him away.
Isn't that what you wanted?
Alex gazes at him.
Oh my God. What did I do? I'm so fucked up. I'm a pedophile. I am. I'm a sexual deviant. I can't. You're in shock.
Do you want some chips?
Chips? No, I just kissed you. I just molested you.
Alex takes a chip.
Get a grip. It's just a kiss.
Joseph stares at her, stunned. The call display shows that Laura is calling. Joseph gazes at the phone, then steps toward the chips. He and Alex eat chips. As time passes, Bruce, Joseph, Alex, and Laura go about their daily lives. One day, one of the girls Laura spoke to about contraception stands at the classroom door.
Angela, welcome back.
The girl enters and walks to her seat among her classmates.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah. You have a doctor's note for me, right?
Angela looks away guiltily.
4 days is a lot of school. Exams are coming up.
I can get one.
By tomorrow, please. All right. God's family.
Laura turns away from the blackboard and looks at her teenage students. After class, Angela stays behind.
I don't have a note.
Why not?
Because abortionists don't give notes.
Laura hugs Angela.
Angela, we talked. Didn't you take precautions?
I wanted to, but he... It's easy to say, but once you're actually...
It's okay. It's all right.
Am I going to hell now?
Laura gazes at her.
That's what you said in class today, isn't it?
Later, the worried principal holds a letter in his hands and looks at Laura. She starts to leave.
Look, maybe you just need a few weeks to,
It's a resignation. I resign.
Look, just think about it.
I did.
She walks out. Later, at home, she makes a phone call. Bruce receives it at work. At a motel. They sit in the parking lot. Bruce signs the register.
Fleener.
How long are you going to stay?
Overnight.
About an hour. Overnight.
The desk clerk looks at them skeptically. He gives them the key. They enter the room, and Laura kisses Bruce. She takes off his tie. Then kisses him again. She opens his shirt and kisses his neck. As Laura kneels down in front of him and opens his fly, Bruce gazes vacantly across the room. Noticing his lack of enthusiasm, she peers up at his face.
What's the matter?
She wraps her arms around his neck.
What, don't you like me?
No.
Laura smiles nervously.
Well, you don't have to like someone to have sex with them, right?
When he doesn't react, she crosses the room, grabs her things. And leaves. Later, at her place, Laura packs her possessions. Items lay scattered on the floor. And Laura places others into one of several boxes. Turns with a towel, which she throws into a box. Laura surveys her handiwork in the dingy half-light. And enters the next room. Looking up at a wall, she notices a small hole in the wallpaper. She steps to the wall and picks at the hole. She gently tears a small strip away from the wall. Meanwhile, Joseph takes water samples from a boat in an underground reservoir. Douglas anxiously checks his watch nearby. Joseph grabs his cell phone and sees that it's Laura calling. Irritated, he stuffs the phone back in his pocket.
Are you gonna get that?
No!
We got like 5 minutes, man.
Joseph answers the call.
Laura, look, this is really not a very good time to be...
Joseph, we need to talk.
No! Look, don't do this to me, Laura.
Douglas shakes his head.
I'm trying to get over you.
So do you want me to call you later?
No!
So you're never going to talk to me again?
Listen, you wanted it to be over, okay?
Hey!
I gotta go.
Joseph, don't hang up on me.
Laura rips a piece of wallpaper off the wall. Joseph takes his instrument out of the water. He checks the readings.
What? That can't be right.
Well?
Later, Joseph relaxes at home.
Hey,
I cannot hear the phone. I cannot hear the phone.
As Joseph crosses the room, Alex enters.
You should go for a walk. It'd be good for you to get out of the apartment for a bit.
I'm helping you pack here.
No, you're not, Joseph. You pick up my stuff and, like, you walk around the apartment and leave it in the bathroom or something.
I do not.
You left my sweater on the fridge and my magazine's in the laundry basket.
Yeah, I'm just...
He indicates his confusion.
All right. You're right. I'm going for a walk. You want anything from the store?
You're not going to Laura's.
No, I'm gonna go mail a letter and then possibly pick up a bagel or something. Don't you go finishing your packing and moving out before I get back.
Yeah.
Alex goes back to her bedroom as he prepares to leave. Alex rummages through a dresser drawer until she finds the boomerang. She crosses the room to her bed and puts the boomerang in her suitcase. Hearing someone enter, she hurriedly piles a bunch of clothes on top of the boomerang and closes the lid.
Joseph?
Bruce enters her bedroom.
Nope.
Hey, Bruce. Are you... Joseph actually isn't here.
I came to see you, Alex.
Oh. Do you, some tea?
No tea.
He steps toward her.
Okay, you're kind of starting to freak me out.
Meanwhile, outside, Joseph thrusts a hand in his pocket, then retraces his steps. In the apartment, Bruce reaches for Alex, and she bites his hand and runs away. He chases her around.
Le mâle sur le museau, tout en le maintenant sous l'eau. Ce comportement alterne avec le jeu de poursuite à travers le varech dans lequel la femelle...
Bruce grabs Alex and holds her against a wall. His face is close to hers. Joseph enters. He stares at Bruce and Alex.
What the hell is this?
He knocks Bruce down.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
It's, you know, it's not like that.
It's not.
Are you okay?
What is the matter with your friend? Why does he have a key to get in here?
She looks at Bruce.
Are you sick?
I'm in love.
Why don't you go home and love your wife?
I don't know. I love you, Alex.
Gross.
You don't believe in love.
One of the many things I don't believe in, which stubbornly continues to exist.
Alex and Joseph stare at him.
It's
later,
like
at home, Bruce watches late night TV.
Looking for love. Just $3.99 a minute plus taxes, and you could be getting some tonight. Right now. So, what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone and give us your credit card number.
You me?
Bruce looks into the darkened bedroom. He asks,
Okey-do.
Are you awake? Yumi rolls over in bed and gazes at him solemnly. Are you asleep? She shakes her head. We should talk. I'd like that. I want you to know that I love somebody else. She stares at him, stunned. You don't love me. I like you. So, you mean you want to separate? No. I just want you to know. Maybe you should be with her if you love her.
Yeah.
No. She doesn't like me. Are you happy? Yumi shakes her head. No, are you? Bruce shakes his head. Would you be happier alone? I doubt it. Me neither. Time passes. One day, as Joseph works in his office...
So it turns out that the element causing the virus is a variant of polyvinyl chloride, an element of the water main's piping itself. Part of the pipe. Nothing to do with cryptosporidia.
Really? That's great, then. We just have to
replace the pipes? Are you kidding? 2,300 kilometers of pipe? Impossible. And it's giving people cold-like symptoms, that's all. It's actually a compound that's common in water in many countries where people have no reaction to it at all. Mexico, for example. People here will just have to build up an immunity to it.
Later, at her apartment, Laura makes a phone call. Clothes lie strewn on the floor, and much of the wallpaper hangs in tatters.
The home of Joseph Schreiber.
Early in the morning, right, Laura rides in a taxi.
Name, telephone number, and time you called. After the tone, I'll be sure to get back to you just as soon as possible.
Laura turns to the driver.
I'm sorry. Could you take me to... It's the corner of Broadway and Edmonton?
Yeah, sure. And then to the airport?
Maybe.
In Joseph's apartment, they stand 10 feet apart.
Brazil, eh?
Yeah. I have to overnight in Toronto, though. My flight leaves in, like, an hour.
Wow. That's really unexpected.
Joseph wears pajamas and a robe.
What happened to Japan?
Well, I might not even... Where's your cousin?
Why'd you come here, Laura?
Talk.
Okay. Well, talk.
Aren't you gonna offer me tea or something?
No tea.
She approaches him and sits on a couch.
Called it. It's weird, I guess. I'm just so used to taking it for granted that when... I've been really bad to you, Joseph, really bad.
I know.
No, you don't. I hide. When there's something difficult, I hide and... My whole life, these past few years, has been about avoiding having this conversation.
What?
It's why when we went to visit your family in Montreal and they were all asking us about a baby and when would we get married and when would we have children, and you love children, I know you do, and you'd be a great father. You would have been a great father if I hadn't...
If you hadn't what?
Do you remember when we took that... When I... Do you remember when I took that vacation for a week?
Oh, my God, Laura.
I went to the States. I had to go to the States because we were kids. I couldn't have a baby. Not then. I wasn't ready. And I couldn't tell you because you wouldn't let me do it. And it had to be a secret. A secret. I tried to fall in love with someone else, and I couldn't. And the more I tried, the more I couldn't. I know I hurt you.
He kisses her passionately, and she responds. He holds her tight.
I love you.
Joseph is startled by her cough.
You sick? You coughed.
What? He moves away from her.
You're sick. You coughed.
What are you saying, Joseph?
You have to go.
Laura gropes for words.
It's me. I love you.
No, you need me. Need me to forgive you or hate you. That's why you came here. But I can't. I won't.
Laura stands.
My taxi's waiting.
She hurries out.
Can't run away forever.
I can try.
Joseph stands rooted to the spot. Downstairs, Laura's taxi pulls away from the curb. Joseph watches from a window. Then he turns away. On his laptop computer, a screensaver traces a complex labyrinth, wipes the screen blank, and starts again. Later, a building super shows Alex into Laura's apartment. Alex stares at the stripped walls.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know what the previous tenant was doing in here. Looking for something behind the walls.
Meanwhile, on a sunny beach in Brazil, Laura gazes at some hills across an ocean bay. Unsmiling, she gazes across the water. Then she grins and looks down. This described version of Inertia was created by Audiovision. The narrative description was written by Peter Agnes, narrated by Valerie Hunter, and produced by Emily Harding. To learn more about described video, visit www.audiovisioncanada.com. Good, yeah. Screenplay, based on improvisations by Jonas Chernick, Joseph, Sarah Constable, Laura, Gord Tanner, Bruce, Micheline Macheldon, Alex, Mike Bell, Bresky. Additional cast: Yumiko Sakamoto, Yumi, Garfield Williams, Douglas, Scott Montgomery, Scary Rapist Guy, Steve Ratzlaff, the principal, Elizabeth Marsh Mondor, Margie, Lyle Morris, Murray, Robert Tetro, Guy, Jessica Scott, Cherry, Alton Perloff, Angela. Produced with the participation of Telefilm Canada, Manitoba Film and Sound, the Government of Manitoba, Manitoba Film and Video Production Tax Credit, the Movie Network, the Canada Council for the Arts, Showcase, the Canadian Film and Video Production Tax Credit, the National Screen Institute, Film Training Manitoba. This is the way I feel. Musicians: Daniel Roy, Dan Benediction, Elena Zaremba, Marceline Moody, Alexis Koshan, Leanne Zacharias, Richard Moody. Timeless: Rock and Roll Preacher, They Like to Travel, The Great Escape, The Way I Feel, Jam, written by Richard Moody. Performed by Richard Moody and band, courtesy of Soundrich Records, copyright SOCAN 1999-2000. The Key, written written by Honey Hill, performed by Richard Moody and band. Copyright SOCAN, 1999. Still the Same, written by Kim Bareluck, performed by the Weird Sisters, courtesy of Weird Records. Copyright SOCAN, 2001. Mama, written by Manuel De Falla, performed by Alexis Koshan. Inertia, copyright 2001. Indian Snackbox Films, all rights reserved.